want to say a big welcome tonight to Pastor Paul Roebuck, who's going to be our speaker in such a special way. He understands loss from the inside out like each one of you do that are with me in this call or listening on this podcast. Tonight's going to be a life-changing experience. So I highly recommend that you take notes, that you follow through with something that he says jumps out at you. Write that down, because that can be a way that the Lord can begin to train your mind to go another direction. So Pastor Paul is the author of two books that are great books, easy read books. One of them is called Forgiving Yourself, and it's a fantastic, simple book to understand how to forgive. And the other one, I actually brought a copy with me. It's called Entertain Angels Unaware. Fantastic little book. These are available on Amazon. So get yourself a copy. And I'd like to say it's going to be an awesome night tonight. So welcome, Pastor Paul. So glad you're with us tonight.
Oh, thanks, Kayla. I appreciate the invite. I'm honored to be here with you guys. I'm honored to be speaking to you tonight. I appreciate you talking about the family loss and stuff that this group has gone through. I'll start by telling you about 7 years ago, we received a knock on our door early one morning. And you'll have to excuse me. I may break down a little bit here.
That's okay.
We received a knock on our door, and they told us to hurry and get to our daughter's house, which was probably about 10 minutes away from us. We arrived there, and the EMS people were already there, the fire trucks and all, and they were working on our daughter. During the night, she had gotten up, gone to the restroom, came back, laid down the bed, and her husband said he heard a loud, kind of a deep breath, and then just a big sign. And it scared him, so he punched her and said, "Are you okay?" And she didn't answer, and he found that she was out. I mean, she was out cold. So he was a ex-police officer, and he started CPR on her until the EMS people got there. But by the time we got there, the fire department, most of them were coming back out of the house. They hadn't even moved her out of the house yet. I asked them, was she responsive? And they told me, no, she wasn't. So, you know, we went in and had begun to pray and ask the Lord to spare her life, because we knew it didn't look very favorable at that stage. You know, she was only 45 years old, had three kids at home still. That's been almost 7 years ago. And all of you can probably attest to what I'm going to say. It still seemed like yesterday to us. We missed her dearly and know that she's with the Lord. That's the only comfort and hope that it really gives to my wife and I. We have a picture hangs in our office, and we've given it to a lot of friends and family members that we know that have lost loved ones. And you can pick them up at home at Hobby Lobby. And the words on it says, "If you could see me now, you wouldn't shed a tear. The angels all rejoice as I entered the promised land with our Savior." And the beauty is beyond the words. There's nothing that can compare. "I even see your mansion, and someday I'll meet you there." Those words, I stand at that plaque and have to tell you, I stop at times and read it. Yeah, if you think preachers are strong, no, we're human just like what you are. We have the same feelings inside. We have the same hurt. We go through the same trials and stuff that each of you go through. And our hope, though, is in God. I mean, that's our hope. And just as, you know, I read that last part where our daughter basically is telling us, "I even see your mansion, and someday I'll meet you there." I'm looking forward to that day, because that's going to be a great reunion day. I mean, we've all lost parents. We've lost our spouses. We've lost loved ones. Kids are really tough to lose. They're not supposed to go before the parents are, but that happens to us. And, you know, I look at it as I realize that Kimberly, and that was my daughter's name, was a gift from God. He loaned her to us, and we kept her for 45 years and was able to share life with her and enjoy her life. But whenever Jesus called her home, you know, all we could do was certainly feel that loss, the pain of losing her. But we knew Kimberly was a child of the Almighty God. And when he called her name, our loan from him to us of her was ended. But that doesn't mean it stops there. We're going to see her again someday. And, you know, those are times that we all look forward to. So I pray that your story can be of strength to you and your family. And I want to minister to you tonight. My topic of message I'm going to share with you tonight is there's hope in the midst of the storm. And, you know, this world can often feel like such a dark place. Sometimes it's hard to see light and hope during all the suffering and pain that we see all around us. Constant media, you watch the news, hear the news, read the news. It all reveals such deep struggles, the pain, the brokenness that so many in life have had. And that negative that goes with all this seems to create, that's why we have so many people that give up. That's why so many of them turn to drug or alcohol or different things that they get involved in everywhere but to the right place. But, you know, instead of fearing those end times or battling uncertainty over future events, simply knowing that God's work gives us power to live our lives, our days, with the understanding and the wisdom that he's still at work. Even when difficulty surrounds us, he's still at work. He's there with us. He's going to guide us through it. He didn't say he wouldn't let you go in that valley, but he did tell you he's going to lead you out of that valley. So there's going to be a mountaintop. If you're in that valley tonight, just hold on. You're going to get out. Just keep holding to his hand. You know, God's promises are true. He's faithful to bring every one of his promises to pass. And, you know, Jesus gives us that eternal hope. Rooted in him, the promise of heaven, and the reminder that he will come again. That's our hope. That's what we need to hold on to. Proverbs 15, verse 13 in the New King James Version says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit's broken." If we skip down to verse 23, it says, "A man has joy for the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." Now, I'm asking you tonight, do you have a merry heart, or has your spirit been broken? Think about that for a moment. What is it? What kind of words is coming out of your mouths? What are you speaking? What do you hear yourself telling yourself, if you will? Are you condemning yourself with your words and your thoughts? You know, we live in days where we experience what most will call good days, bad days. If we are to live the life that God has called us to live, though, if we are to negotiate the ups and downs, we have to learn how to approach life with all that it throws at us. We'll have to learn how to have a proper attitude, if you will, in our lives. We have to know that there's going to be hope in the midst of the storm. We will have storms, but hey, there's still hope. There's hope in and faith that comes into play. Here in our lives, I'm certain that we all have seen many events unfold. Yeah, I know that we've all experienced the loss of loved ones. We have experienced many defeats and victories. I mean, it looks like you get my age, we look back and we say, wow, I've lived a lifetime. I've seen a lot of things that was good. I've seen a lot of things I loved what I did. I've seen a lot of things that I wish I hadn't have done or that I would have changed if I could have. But in other words, we've all had what we call and heard called good days and bad days. In Proverbs 15:15, it tells us that there are two basic ways that we can approach life. There's the attitude of despondent, and that word despondent means hopeless, unhappy, pessimistic, miserable, or sad. Or you can have the attitude of a happy heart. For the despondent, every day seems to bring nothing but trouble, heartaches, disappointments. The despondent can only see their own problem. They can't see anything else because their problems there. Kind of like you can't see the forest for the trees. But the despondents are filled with dread, premonition of some type of failure. If it's bad, it's going to happen to me. They expect something bad is going to happen. And life always seems to kind of conform to the worst expectations in their mind. They believe and expect that only the worst in life is for them. I'm sure you've heard people say those same words. You know, I'm only going to have the worst in life. That's their life. They have to live with it. That's just the way it is. I don't believe that. You know, the scripture talks about a happy heart in contrast. Every day, though, is a continuous feast for those with a happy heart. Every day is a celebration. The happy heart celebrates the coming of the kingdom. And we look further for the manifestations and breakthroughs in our lives. We go from one hilltop to the other. There's some valleys in there. But hey, if you don't have the valleys, you're not going to have the mountaintops. You know, you've never seen a mountain without a valley. The happy heart, they're filled with that happiness, faith, and joy. They expect something good going to happen, and guess what? Their life always seems to conform to the very best of their expectations. You see what I'm saying? It depends on how you think, how you look at things, and what happens in your life. If you're going to go around being negative, your life's going to be negative. You're going to go around saying, thank God, I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm going to expect the best things that Jesus has got for me for my life. It's going to happen. You know, for the despondent, though, even when the reality of the kingdom breaks into their lives, they can't really appreciate it. It's because their attitude embitters their outlook on it, and it robs them of peace, joy, and happiness. For the happy of heart, though, on the other hand, even when the kingdom seems so far away, they find a way to see the good in it. It may be at a time of the worst despair in your life, but at the same time, if you've got the faith and that happy heart that God gives to you, you're going to have to find a way to see the good and refuse to allow your spirit to sink into despair. We're happy because we know who holds tomorrow. We're happy because we know who's in control. We're happy because we know we're children of the Almighty God. And Proverbs 23:7 tells us, and I'm going to paraphrase this tonight, says, such as you think in your heart, so it is. And I've used that verse many times over my ministry of telling people you can't be thinking the way you're thinking. The way you're thinking is going to hurt you. Stop telling yourself you can't do it, or it's too bad, or oh, woe me. Get out of that woe me attitude. Get happy about things. And tonight I ask you, how are you thinking? You know, not going down on anybody. I'm trying to give you some words of encouragement tonight so that you can look up. You know, if you have bad days, hey, turn it around to a good day. You know, every morning I wake up and the first thing comes out of my mouth, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. When I go to bed at night, I say, thank you, Lord, for another night. And if I don't wake up in the morning, hey, that's okay. I'll wake up in a new place. I'll wake up with a new body. And, you know, I've got good things in my life. I'm looking forward to good things. I've got more to go to heaven for today than I did yesterday. And, you know, I've got a lot of family members that's sitting there waiting for me. I can't wait for that happy reunion day. Someday it's going to be there. Again, how's your thinking tonight? Stop and check yourself. What is it that your mind thinks about mostly? What do you concentrate on throughout the day? You know, are your thoughts limiting you, or are they going to be empowering you? Are your thoughts staying on defeat and worry, or victory, favor, breakthrough, and abundance? The victory, favor, breakthrough, and abundance, that comes from above. You know, keep your eyes facing upward towards God. Instead of keeping your mind on any problems, on any doubt that may come your way, or any worry, keep it stayed on God's promises. I remember I visited a prison cell one time, and on the walls there was some words written that stuck to my mind for years and years and years now, and I'll never forget it. On the wall, the prisoner had written, he said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives me something to do, but it's not getting me anywhere. Think about that for a minute. Yeah, he sat there and just worried, didn't do anything. So, you know, you can stop and keep on worrying about things, or you can start praising your way out of your problems, thanking God for it, believing for it. You know, when a negative thought comes, just erase it. You replace it with a positive, faith-filled word, a thought from God's word. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you read the word of God and get that in your system, the more you read, the more you study the word, it's going to be there. I challenge you, get your Bible out, just start Googling or searching for words that will be promises of God for you. Fill your mind with those. Don't leave your mind empty. Get your mind going in the right direction, your life's going to go in that right direction. The way your mind thinks, your life's going to go that same way. You're going to draw in whatever you're consistently thinking about. That's what's going to draw you in. You know, if you keep thinking, I can't do it, or I'm not good enough, or this problem's too big, I'm never going to get well, I'll never be able to get past this, whatever it may be in your life, you're drawing in such a defeated attitude. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be defeated. Let's move on from that. Let's erase those thoughts. You know, I want to encourage you to begin erasing, just replace those negative thoughts. Don't let them linger. Yeah, you may get them to come by you. Let them just fly right on by. Don't stop them. Don't meditate on them. Just tell them, nope, it ain't going to stay here. You're out of here. Negative thoughts. I believe that God's in charge and I'm his child and he's got not withhold anything good from me. Yep, I believe in God. And those thoughts will leave you. You won't have to have those things. Just think, how much further in life can you go? How much more of God's favor will you see in your life if you will just speak positive words that God has given to you over your life? Let the thoughts be on Jesus and of all his goodness for you. Psalms 136:3 tells us, it says, give thanks to the Lord for he's good. It says his mercy endures forever. If you've never read Psalms 136:3, it's not a long chapter in the Bible, but if you go ahead and read that, you're going to see that every part of those words, his mercy endures forever, is in every verse. That's pretty powerful words there. Whenever the Lord puts that in every verse in that chapter, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His mercies endure forever. Think about that for a little bit. You know, in the Bible, the word mercy is used in reference to forgiveness or withholding punishment. You know, his mercy is what allows us to know him and to have his unconditional forgiveness for all of our sins, not some of them. He never intended on forgiving us and then holding those sins over us for we felt would feel guilty about them. No, he forgives you. When those sins are gone, they're gone. He doesn't even remember them anymore. Psalms 84:11 in the Amplified Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows grace and favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if you're going to walk uprightly with God, then there's no good things he's going to withhold from you. And when you've been through something that's so difficult, or in one sense, you've been given a gift, you know, you're uniquely qualified at that stage. Once you've been going through something so difficult, you're qualified then to help someone else that may have a similar problem. You know, a lot of times someone that's been a drug addict, that's been delivered, can help someone else that's a drug addict that's suffering from that. Someone that's lost a loved one can help another person that's lost a loved one. You can have a shoulder for them to lean upon. You can be a word of encouragement to them. So tonight, lift up yourself. If you're down in your spirit, let me encourage you. Hold on to God. Reach up and grab him. I used to say grab it, hang on to a rope, tie a knot in it, and just hold it. Don't let that rope go. You know, whatever it takes to hold on. Hold on to God. You remember Proverbs 23:7 says, it tells us that for as you think in your heart, so are you. So I'm asking you tonight, what are you thinking? Does your thinking need some adjustments? And, you know, I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight, just to leave it there. And I'm going to, in closing, I want to pray that the Lord just give you a happy, positive heart. I want you to ask him to help you to overcome any temptations to be despaired. Have faith to see things with an attitude of thankfulness, expectations of good things in your life. Dare to believe. Dare to anticipate God's amazing goodness in your life. And I'm going to leave it there with you. God bless you. And thanks again for letting me come on and be a part. I hope it's been an encouragement to you.
Hey, I want to ask you some questions, Pastor, before we let everybody else jump in here. And that is, you use the word despondent, that people get despondent where they can't see the good every day that has actually ongoing, that keeps happening to them. Do you see that around you in people that suffer in grief?
You know, I do. A lot of times people kind of, you know, they get a hold of something like that and they become despaired, and then it's kind of like, I've used the term a lot of times that you can either use something as a guidepost or you can use it as a hitching post. So you can either guide from that post to the next post, or you can tie your horse around that thing and just hold on to it, never let go. And that's where you become despondent at. You know, you have to turn loose and let go. Good question. Thank you.
That you have to turn loose and let go. Yes. You have to at some point recognize the Lord needs me to let go.
Absolutely. You have to let go so that you can move forward. If not, you're going to be held and just keep spinning your wheels, and you're not going to be going anywhere because you can't get that grip, that grip to keep moving forward. So you're missing out on all the good things that God has in store for us.
That's such a refreshing message to give, because even today I got a message from somebody who had read this article on social media about the cup that they had. I don't know if you've seen it, but somebody's took a picture of this orange cup, and it was the last cup their husband had drank out of, and they hadn't washed it, and all this time he's been gone. And they asked me what I thought about it, and I said, well, I don't think that's wisdom at all. That's certainly not honoring his memory, and you didn't give him a glorious goodbye because you're still hanging on to a cup. And I recommended that they learned to find a way to honor him in his memory and say goodbye elegantly and wisely so that things wouldn't cause them to get stuck.
Right. That's a hitching post.
That's a hitching post.
Exactly.
That's such a good way to see that. A hitching post, or what was the other one? A hitching post or a
guidepost.
Guidepost. So good. So, you know, it depends on what we're focusing on every day. Am I going to focus on, you said four things: victory, favor, breakthrough, and abundance. Are we going to focus on that? Or the opposite of that would be sorrow, fear, unbelief, and I'm never going to get past this, right?
Correct. And I mean, that list could go on and on and on. Whatever individually has you bound with that, turn loose of it. Move on from it. Let's go forward. I mean, we can't change what happened yesterday, but we can change what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, for ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I choose to be happy. You know, I choose to be jolly. I don't want to walk around sad with a sad face and woe me. I don't want to do that. I know my own personal life, my dad he went through a bunch of stuff in World War II and all. And he was bedridden after probably about 55 years old. And by choice, he didn't have to be. He could get up and go if he wanted to, but he didn't want to. He'd always look around and tell me how sad it was, how bad he felt. I said, Dad, stop, look around. You can stand up. You can walk. You may not can walk 10 miles, but you can walk around the block. You know, look at those guys that come back without legs or without an arm or didn't come back at all. You know,
yeah,
you're so much better off than they were. And I couldn't even convince my own dad of that. So I know this personally that, you know, and he was a God-fearing person, but he just couldn't turn loose of that negativism that kept him held back. That's no telling what my dad could have done if he had just said, you know, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to look upon the things that God has for me and move forward. You know, if he just said, devil, I'm not listening, devil. There's thoughts that you've got. They're so negative. That doesn't come from above. That comes from below. No, I'm free. The Spirit has set me free, and I am free indeed.
Yeah. You know, I love to use the analogy in my own life that I do have a host of my own family members, that cloud of witnesses waiting for me. And bless God, I'm going to bring some medals home with me.
All right. Yes.
Make them proud that Gayla Joyce didn't lay down and just quit life and just fall apart and say, this is it. It's over. No, no, no. I'm going to drag through the door the rest of the work they weren't able to finish. And crazy. I do believe that. I think that we do need to complete. And I want to honor my husband's memory and my father and my father-in-law and my great-grandfather and my grandfather, who are all ministers of the gospel. Yeah. So how dare I think I could just stop, right?
Absolutely. Don't you dare quit.
Yeah. No, I'm going to finish the job they started. So you said one other thing, and then I'm going to let us close this particular part of our session out. And that is, you said two little words that I think are just real hooks. And you said erase and replace.
Yeah. Yeah. When those negative thoughts come, be prepared with the word of God. Replace those negative things with something from God's word and keep going forward.
Man, that's so good. Erase it. You're going to have to get it in your mind. I'm going to erase this thought, and see an eraser in your mind just blotting out that negativity or that loss or that old memory, whatever it is that's trying to drag you down and cause you to not live in victory and not live with favor or breakthrough.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to live the same old, same old.
God's good. Why should we be down? God's good. We serve a living God.
We serve a living God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Pastor, would you pray for us? And then I'm going to close this part of the session out.
Thank you. It's been an honor. Father, I thank you for this group tonight. I thank you for the message that you gave me to deliver to them. God, I know that your word never goes out without coming back with the touches that you had mine to send out. Father, I'm asking that you touch each one tonight, Lord. I'm asking that you increase their faith. I'm asking that you let them erase any negative thoughts, anything that would be a despondent to them. I ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to replace it with positiveness, with faith, and with hope. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. I know if you'll take his words to heart, it will bring change.